Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've tuned in because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating topics in GCSE biology, topic 7, animal coordination, control, and homeostasis. Whether you're revising for your mocks or your final exams, this episode is going to give you everything you need to feel confident and exam ready. Here's the thing about this topic. It's not just abstract science. This is literally about how your body works right now as you're listening. Your nervous system is firing signals. Your hormones are circulating in your blood, and your body is constantly making tiny adjustments to keep everything in balance. That's homeostasis in action. Pretty amazing, right? By the end of this episode, you'll understand the nervous system, the endocrine system, how your body regulates blood glucose and temperature, and, crucially, how to answer exam questions on these topics to get maximum marks. Let's get into it. Let's start with the big picture. Your body has two main coordination systems: the nervous system and the endocrine system. Think of them as two different communication networks. The nervous system is like a broadband cable. Super fast, very specific, but the signal doesn't last long. The endocrine system is more like sending a letter through the post. It's slower, but the message reaches lots of places and the effects last much longer. The nervous system works through electrical impulses that travel along neurons. There are three types of neurons you need to know: sensory neurones, which carry signals from receptors to the central nervous system; relay neurons, which are found in the brain and spinal cord and pass signals between neurons; and motor neurons, which carry signals from the central nervous system to effectors, that's muscles and glands. Examiners love asking you to put these in the correct order. So remember, sensory, relay, motor, or think of it as SRM, some really motivated neurons. Now, between neurons, there are tiny gaps called synapses. At a synapse, the electrical signal can't just jump across the gap. Instead, chemicals called neurotransmitters are released from one neuron, diffuse across the gap, and bind to receptors on the next neuron. This triggers a new electrical impulse. This is really important. The signal changes from electrical to chemical and back to electrical at a synapse, moving on to the endocrine system. This is your body's chemical messaging service. Glands produce hormones, which are released directly into the bloodstream and travel to target organs. The master gland is the pituitary gland in the brain. It controls many other glands. Other key glands include the thyroid, which produces thyroxine to control metabolic rate; the adrenal glands, which produce adrenaline for the fight-or-flight response; the pancreas, which produces insulin and glucagon to control blood glucose; and the ovaries and testes, which produce sex hormones. Now let's talk about homeostasis, and this is where it gets really exam important. Homeostasis is the maintenance of a stable internal environment despite changes in external conditions. Your body has a set point for things like temperature, blood glucose, and water content, and it constantly works to keep these at the right level. The mechanism it uses is called negative feedback. Here's how it works. If a condition moves away from the set point, say your blood glucose rises after a meal, receptors detect this change and send a signal to a coordination center, usually the brain or a gland. The coordination center then sends a signal to an effector, a muscle or gland, which responds to bring the level back to normal. The key word is negative. The response opposes the change. It's like a thermostat in your house. If it gets too warm, the thermostat switches the heating off. If it gets too cold, it switches the heating back on. Let's apply this to blood glucose regulation specifically, because this comes up in almost every exam. After you eat a meal, your blood glucose level rises. The beta cells in the islets of Langerhans in the pancreas detect this rise and release insulin into the blood. Insulin causes liver and muscle cells to absorb glucose from the blood and convert it to glycogen for storage. This process is called glycogenesis. Blood glucose falls back to normal. Now the opposite: if you've been exercising and your blood glucose falls too low, the alpha cells in the pancreas release glucagon. Glucagon causes the liver to break down glycogen back into glucose. This is glycogenolysis, and release it into the blood. Blood glucose rises back to normal. Remember, insulin and glucagon are antagonistic hormones. They work in opposition to each other. Type 1 diabetes is where the pancreas cannot produce insulin at all. It's an autoimmune condition. Type 2 diabetes is where the body's cells stop responding to insulin properly. Type 1 is treated with insulin injections. Type 2 is often managed through diet and exercise, though medication may be needed. Now let's cover thermoregulation, controlling body temperature. The normal human body temperature is 37 degrees Celsius. The thermoregulatory center in the hypothalamus of the brain monitors blood temperature and receives signals from temperature receptors in the skin. When you're too hot, blood vessels near the skin surface dilate. This is vasodilation, allowing more blood to flow near the surface and lose heat. Sweat glands produce sweat, which evaporates and takes heat away from the body. You also stop shivering. When you're too cold, blood vessels near the skin surface constrict, vasoconstriction, reducing blood flow near the surface to conserve heat. Sweat production stops. Muscles contract rapidly, that's shivering, which generates heat through respiration. You also get goosebumps, which in our evolutionary ancestors would have raised fur to trap an insulating layer of air, though in humans, this is less effective. Finally, let's touch on the kidneys and osmoregulation, controlling water content. The kidneys filter the blood and produce urine. The amount of water reabsorbed by the kidneys is controlled by ADH, antidiuretic hormone, released by the pituitary gland. When you're dehydrated, more ADH is released, the kidneys reabsorb more water, and you produce small amounts of concentrated urine. When you're well hydrated, less ADH is released, less water is reabsorbed, and you produce large amounts of dilute urine. This is another classic negative feedback loop. Right, let's talk exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. First, command words. If a question says state, just give a short factual answer. If it says explain, you must use the word because or so that to link cause and effect. Examiners are specifically looking for that causal link. If it says describe, tell them what happens. Use correct terminology and be specific. Common mistake number one, confusing insulin and glucagon. Remember, insulin lowers blood glucose, glucagon raises it. A great way to remember, insulin and lower both have an L sound. Glucagon goes up, G for goes up. Common mistake number two, saying that vasodilation makes the blood cooler. It doesn't, it increases blood flow near the skin surface, so heat's lost to the surroundings by radiation and convection. Make sure you explain the mechanism, not just the outcome. Common mistake number three, forgetting to name the specific cells in the pancreas. Don't just say the pancreas releases insulin, say the beta cells in the islets of Langerhans in the pancreas release insulin. That extra specificity can earn you an additional mark. Common mistake number four, in questions about negative feedback, candidates often describe positive feedback by mistake, saying the effector makes the change bigger. Remember, negative feedback reverses the change. It opposes it. For six, mark extended. Answer questions on homeostasis. Use this structure. State the stimulus, name the receptor, name the coordination center, name the effector, describe the response, and state the outcome. That's six clear points for six marks. Time for a quick fire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question one. What type of cells in the pancreas release insulin? Beta cells. Question two, what is the name of the process where glycogen is broken down into glucose? Glycogenolysis. Question three, what happens to blood vessels near the skin when you are too hot? They dilate, vasodilation. Question four, what hormone controls water reabsorption in the kidneys? ADH, antidiuretic hormone. Question five, what is the name of the gap between two neurons? A synapse? Question six. Name the three types of neuron in order of a reflex arc. Sensory, relay, motor. How did you do? If you got all six, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up with the key things to take away from today's episode. One, the body uses two coordination systems, the nervous system, which is fast and short-lived, and the endocrine system, which is slower but longer lasting. Two, homeostasis maintains a stable internal environment using negative feedback. The response opposes the change. Three, blood glucose is regulated by insulin from beta cells, which lowers glucose, and glucagon from alpha cells, which raises glucose. Four, body temperature is regulated by the hypothalamus. Vasodilation and sweating cool you down. Vasoconstriction and shivering warm you up. Five, water balance is controlled by ADH from the pituitary gland. More ADH means more water reabsorbed, less urine. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers. And remember, every mark you understand how to earn is a mark you will earn on exam day. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.